Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
One of the beautiful things about Harvard is its primary mission is to provide the resources for its students to succeed. And it's important, I feel, for those alumni that do succeed to come back and help Harvard so that Harvard could achieve its mission.
That's hedge fund manager and Harvard Business School alum John Paulson talking about the $400 million gift he gave to Harvard last week.
It's the largest donation in Harvard's history. The money is dedicated to Harvard's growing School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. But immediately after the gift was announced, the criticisms began rolling in.
Writer Malcolm Gladwell tweeted this about Paulson's gift. It came down to helping the poor or giving the world's richest university $400 million it doesn't need.
Even some current Harvard students balked. The Harvard Crimson quoted one student Facebook post calling the university, quote, literally the most undeserving place of this money.
But Harvard isn't alone in netting the big gifts, but it is part of a very rich club. By one measure, just 10 universities capture almost 18% of all voluntary donations made to institutions of higher education.
And so many people are asking, do these elite schools need the money? Is funding a college at Harvard the best use of the money? Why or why not? Let us know. We'd love to know what you think. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Now, we'll be hearing from a couple voices during this conversation. And let's begin with Harry Lewis. He's interim dean of Harvard's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. That's the school that's the recipient of this $400 million gift. Professor Lewis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. We should say that we actually did extend an invitation to John Paulson himself for an interview, and he declined that request. But Professor Lewis, I'm really delighted that you can join us today. Can you first tell us briefly, what is this $400 million gift from John Paulson going to be used for at the university's new engineering school?
Well, the School of Engineering has been exploding over the past several years. We have three times the numbers of majors that we had less than a decade ago. And we've been hiring faculty like crazy because Harvard figured out a few years ago that it was really important for us to have a really superb engineering and applied sciences program. So this gift, this extraordinary gift, this really humbling gift of $400 million, unrestricted except that it's all endowed funds, is going to be used to support the teaching, the scientific activities, the research, and the other kinds of programs that go with having exciting programs in engineering and applied sciences. That's really it's a marvelous gift, not just because of its size, but because of the degree of flexibility that
being unrestricted.
Yes, being unrestricted.
Well, would the engineering school have not been able to meet its goals for the next 5, 10, 15 years without this money?
That's correct. See, the one of the things that the people sometimes don't understand about Harvard is that, you know, there is not one big, you know, multi-billion-dollar Harvard endowment. There's 1,000 small endowments that have been given to Harvard, almost all of them restricted to one purpose or another. And this one is also restricted. It's restricted to engineering. It's just not further restricted within, within that. So, you know, Harvard can't, you know, find an extra $400 million in one place and slosh it over because that would be a violation of the agreement, the trust that Harvard made with the donors that set up those other funds originally.
You know, so Professor Lewis, I take your point on that, but you can understand why it's very difficult for people to fathom how a school that has a $36 billion endowment overall can say that we can't meet our goals. I mean, even with the restrictions that are put on endowment funds.
Well, you know, I've been trying to think of the right analogy since I was invited to come on the program, and this isn't a perfect one, but you know, it's a little bit like saying the United States of America is a very rich country. You know, why are there you know, poor people in some states and rich people in other states. And, you know, the answer is that there's a kind of federal system where the funds in one state tend to stay in one state, except for the results of taxation and so on. So that's where the analogy breaks down, because we don't really have the legal mechanisms to transfer money from one place to another. I certainly understand the dazzling size of these incredibly huge numbers. I appreciate that completely. But we also do a dazzling number of disparate things, from, you know, medicine to law to engineering. And engineering happens to be a very expensive thing to do. The laboratories are costly. The equipment is costly. The kind of training we do is costly. So, yes, we actually need the money.
Well, let's get down right to the heart of the matter and the reason why this gift by John Paulson has so touched a nerve right now. Because, I mean, I guess, to me, the thing is that people are struggling. The middle class is struggling. And people wonder, is this not just the privileged once again giving to the privileged who happen to be embodied in the institution of Harvard University?
Well, I will acknowledge that anybody who gets to go to Harvard is very privileged by virtue of having gotten in. But we have a great many students who are not very privileged before they arrive at Harvard. We have we are an engine of social transformation for large numbers of students who come. And, you know, I think when I said I'm humbled by the gift, I think it creates an enormous burden on the university to use the money for the public good, for the furtherance of education and research that will make the world a better place.
Well, what's your response to the deep-seated feeling out there? I mean, it ranges all the way from Malcolm Gladwell, who we quoted his tweet earlier, to an open letter to John Paulson that was written by Michael Sorrell, who's president of Paul Quinn College in Dallas, Texas. And he wrote, "By making such a donation to the world's richest university, you, John Paulson, are actually leaving society worse than you found it, while simultaneously showing an amazing amount of destructive self-interest cloaked in humanitarianism."
Well, I just disagree with that. I mean, I haven't read the letter, so I don't know what his argument is. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, our students go on and do fabulous things, many of them doing things that are, benefit the world in astonishing ways. I mean, I can't, you know, even though Bill Gates was a student of mine when I started teaching, I don't want to take personal credit. I don't think Harvard should take too much credit for what he's done. But
he didn't even finish. He didn't even graduate.
He didn't even
finish.
Harvard. No, he dropped out pretty much right after he took my course. But there's a person who's changed the world not only with his technology but with his philanthropy. So, you know, we need to inspire people. That is the burden on us, to inspire people to do good for the world with the privilege of being at Harvard.
Well, let me ask you one more question about privilege and the concentration of wealth. Because to me, it's not just the concentration of wealth per se, but the concentration of academic wealth. You know, Anthony at the beginning of this conversation wrote that it's the top 10 fundraisers in higher education are netting almost 20% of all the dollars given to colleges and universities. And Steve Sire in the Boston Globe said, he wrote that the struggle to pay for college is a defining middle class issue, and the majority of those people in general have no connection to America's wealthiest universities. And that's a form of perpetuation that's concerning.
Well, I could not agree more that the underfunding of higher education in this country is a national shame. I mean, I, my own mother was a daughter of illiterate immigrants, and she got to go to the University of Michigan and got a medical degree and went on. My father, actually, no college parents, went to Boston University, another institution to which I'm very grateful for what it indirectly made possible for directly for my parents and indirectly made possible for me. So I think what's happening to the state university systems in particular and the way they're being underfunded is a terrible thing. But I also think it's a wonderful thing that Harvard undergraduates graduate from Harvard with pretty much no student debt. And we are using, in that sense, our enormous endowment, our very large endowment, to make it possible for people to get a good start in life where they otherwise, you know, students at a lot of other places are unable to do that because of the debt that they're graduating with. So it's incumbent on us to keep doing that. But that's not to say, I certainly would never say, I would not even begin to suggest to say that, you know, that other universities should not also receive the greater support than they are now receiving.
Let's take one quick call here. Dana's calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Dana.
Good afternoon. I wanted to explore the point you brought up, that perpetuation is perpetuation in other sense, that it's a form of reverse Robin Hood, taking from the poor and giving it to the rich. And Mr. Paulson has been in charge of mutual funds, specifically Vanguard, that people like me, we lost our 401k money. It's more like, where did he get those money? He shorted a lot of companies, and he accumulated money that way, and we lost it. Now he gives it to Harvard, and the Harvard would have a graduate like him. They would do the same thing. So it's a question of taking money from poor and giving it to the rich.
Dana, thank you for your call. Professor Lewis, do you have a response to that?
No, I don't really have any response to that. I'm more concerned about what we do with the endowments and gifts and funds that we have and what we do for our students going forward in the future. I think that's an important question for us to address.
Well, let me just ask you one last question then. Is this the best use for this money? I mean, that's one of the core issues that people are raising here. I mean, I'm looking at the Chronicle of Philanthropy. They just made a comparison. They're not passing any judgment, but they just said $400 million could also cover the full cost of educating students at Berea College in Kentucky for a decade. It could actually complete the current fundraising campaigns at 20 colleges across the country.
I think it's for everyone to make up their own mind what the best use of the money is. If I had $400 million to give away, would I do it this way? I don't know. I think we will do very good things with the money, and I don't. I'm not going to engage in judging for other people how they should be giving their money away.
Well, Harry Lewis is the interim dean of Harvard School of Engineering and Applied Sciences, the school that is receiving the $400 million gift from hedge fund manager John Paulson. Professor Lewis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's much appreciated. Well, let's turn now to a different voice in this conversation. He's Walter Kimbrough, and he's president of Dillard University in New Orleans, Louisiana. He's also the article of an essay that excoriates the gift that John Paulson gave to Harvard University, and he joins us now from the studios of WWNO in New Orleans. Mr. Kimbrough, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So first of all, I mean, let's just pick up where we left off with Professor Lewis here. You've written in your article that you do not think that $400 million to Harvard University is the best use of the money. Why?
Well, you know, my argument is Mr. Paulson can do what he pleases with his money. And so he had a great experience at Harvard. He loves that institution, and so he decided that's where he wanted to give his money. That's it. That's all he has to say. This is a meaningful place to me. This is where I'm giving my money. The problem occurs when then we try to justify this as some noble cause, because it's not. And, you know, I feel sorry for Dean Lewis trying to sort of defend the indefensible, because we can't say this is some kind of noble cause. I mean, he indicated.
But why not? I mean, schools of engineering are supposed to be creating the next generation of scientists and engineers who, you know, may go on to truly transform the world for all of us in a number of ways. Why is that not a noble enough cause?
May is a great word. They might be able to do that. There is no guarantee, first of all, that that will happen. Secondly, some of the technological advances that will happen, the average person won't be able to afford all these great advances that we see in science and in medicine. They can't afford it because they're still trying to get by on a day-to-day basis. So, yes, it's noble. It sounds good. There will be some advances probably, even though if you ask the average person, you know, what transformational activity or event that has come out of Harvard in the last decade, no one knows. So it doesn't say that that's not a bad thing to do. But when we start trying to weigh, you know, how do we use this money now, and particularly of all the things that have happened in the last decade in this country, you know, it just sort of seems like there are some other things that we could do to help more people get an education versus, you know, add another major engineering school with MIT in the same town.
So tell me a little bit more about that. From your perspective, you know, what could the money do for an institution like your university?
Okay, so let's compare. Harvard, about 17% or so of the students receive the federal Pell Grant, which means they come from families that earn less than $40,000 a year. 80% of my students, same demographic. The Harvard Crimson has an article that says 14% of Harvard students are the 1%. I don't have the 1% here. So if you took that $400 million gift and I just endowed that gift and it was unrestricted the way that the College of Engineering has there, I could pay the tuition and fees for every student that I have, in perpetuity. That does a lot, because you're looking at students who, although they might have a full ride scholarship, they're still working several jobs to help pay for expenses back at home. It's just a different kind of experience. And so we're talking about a transformative gift that will transform not just a student, but generations of people. So it's great that a Harvard student can graduate and not have any debt. A lot of them wouldn't have any debt anyway, because their families are able to write the $50,000 plus a year check to attend Harvard. They have generational wealth. When we live in a country where African Americans in particular have 1/10 of the wealth, you don't have any of that to build on and pass on to the next generation. So it becomes transformational if my students can go to college and come out debt-free, because so many of them come in with no resources whatsoever.
You know, it's interesting, because I completely hear you when you say that a gift like this has the power to transform so many lives of students at Dillard University for the reasons that you were talking about, coming out debt-free, which then could help them, their families, et cetera. But I also hear the people who say, well, that you can't just dismiss the transformational power of, you know, training possibly the best of the best of the next generation of scientists and engineers as well. I mean, and so what if they go to Harvard? That is an equally good use for the money, but we just don't know the sort of how the benefit will be distributed, because the discoveries are as of yet unknown.
Right. It is. It's complex. I mean, there can be some wonderful life-changing discoveries that will occur because of this gift. So I don't want to discredit that at all. But when we look at how people are struggling right now, you know, we're sort of betting, we're making a hedge bet, if you will, on this gift being able to create science that will benefit people somewhere down the road, while today people are struggling and we're losing generations of young people right now, when we might be able to change the tide of those people and their fortunes right now. So we're making a bet that something's going to happen down the line, but the people who are struggling now won't benefit from that research down the line, because they won't even be here.
Hmm. Now, President Kimber, let me ask you, I'm wondering if there's something about the person who has given this money that's really part of what the outrage is about, because John Paulson made his money as a hedge fund manager. No one takes away his intelligence in terms of the bets that he made, say, against the housing market. He saw what other people didn't see, and he, you know, made his billions. But on the other hand, you know, I'm asking because just this academic year, Harvard received another enormous gift, $350 million from businessman Gerald Chan for the Harvard School of Public Health, and no one complained about it. There wasn't that same outrage as we're seeing here for this gift.
Right. Yeah, I think that probably is part of it. Your caller earlier spoke to that. So, I mean, we're still coming out of that that crisis in business, and how people, as he indicated, lost their 401ks. We're looking at people who've lost homes. And so I think that is part of it, that you have a sense that some people feel like, you know, I was robbed, and now this money is going to be used to, you know, ingratiate with the rich. So I think that probably is part of it. But you know, I think slowly that there has been a change in terms of people looking at gifts like this and starting to think about how do we benefit the great majority of people. In 2007, Columbia received a $400 million gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the people who was outspoken then. It didn't have the same kind of pushback, but I think people are a little bit more aware of that because of the challenges that we're all experiencing in this country. So I think that this debate is good. And again, it doesn't, you know, I just think Paulson's just say, look, I love I love Harvard. It's a great place for me. This is where I want to give my money. And that's it. You don't say anything else. But I think when we start talking about how it benefits these students and those kinds of things, and based on the population, it's a tougher pill to swallow.
Well, Walter Kimbra is president of Dillard University. He spoke to us from New Orleans in Louisiana. President Kimbra, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
And we also heard a little earlier from Harry Lewis, who's interim dean of Harvard School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. Listeners, there's more of the show in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.